Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we're going to learn the halachas of kashering utensils for Pesach. This is Siman 116. This is Kuf Tezayin in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And we're going to try to understand making one's vessels, one's utensils ready for Pesach. A little bit of background. In for most of Jewish history, which is most of world history, most people lived in poverty or abject poverty, which means if they had dishes, they had one set of dishes for year-round and certainly for Pesach as well. Judaism, while people living in the Jewish world, were similar to the rest of the world, and that is there may have been a few people who were exceptionally rich, but most people lived in very, very limited means. And as such, therefore, it was necessary if people wanted to have vessels or utensils for Pesach to kasher their chametz vessels to be used for Pesach. So the question is like this. Obviously, one needs to clean those utensils from anything which is touching chametz, but cleaning may not be sufficient, because if you have a utensil which is gets in touch with something hot, which is chametz stick, then in that case, there are absorptions which are absorbed into the walls of those utensils, and when coming into contact with anything hot on Pesach will be a real problem as well. So cleaning is not sufficient, which means it needs a process of kashering. How do we do this? So the place to look for this in the Torah is in Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Aleph in Parshas Matos, where the Torah tells us that that when conquering the Midianites in battle, the nation of Israel took their first spoils from their battle, and they were told that Aches Zahav, Akesev, Nachoshes, Barzel, Abedil, Safaris, all these different types of metals, called Dovar Asher Yavo Ba'esh, Tavir Ba'esh, V'Taher. Anything which you took from the Midianites, which was in this case treif, which was not kosher, if it was used for with fire, you bring it through fire, it'll be purified. It needs to be obviously also made pure. And then if it goes through water, it needs to go through water, which generally leads us to the halachic rule, which is called Kaboloi Kach Polto, in the way the absorptions were made into the utensil is the way it needs to be extracted from the utensil, which means that if it was through the process of dry heat, it needs to be extracted through dry heat, and if the process of any concerning substance entering the walls was through liquid heat, it needs to be extracted through liquid heat. So that is the general rule. Let's explore this a little further. We can look at five basic concepts today, and that is the types of materials one can kasher, dry heat, cooking in liquids, pouring water onto, let's say, counters, sinks, and tables, and the process of hagala and the process and understanding the steps necessary. Okay, let's start at the beginning. Types of materials one can kasher. What materials cannot be kashered? So the Torah is very explicit that earthenware cannot be kashered because when it is used in hot exposure to something which is treif on like chametz or treif year round. And that is because it is too porous. Therefore, if it's treif, it has to be destroyed. And if it is for Pesach, it needs to be put aside. It cannot be kashered for Pesach. What does that look like today? So we're talking about china porcelain. So let's say we have a porcelain countertop or a tiled counter or ceramic-sided dishwashers. That's where these kind of things come up as well, where it becomes complicated. Mugs, these things cannot be kashered for Pesach. What can be kashered via Haggadah? Through the process of boiling water. So metal, stone, wood, those can be. What about plastic, which is a new invention? So the OU's, the psak is that at times of need, it can be, but it's not your option A. What about glass? So the Ashkenazim have the practice not to kasher glass, and this includes any vessel which may be glazed, because the glaze is a thin layer of glass as well. What about composite materials? So let's say you have something which is like silo stone, quartz, or composite stones. They can be kashered as if they are stone, as if they are solid stone. But let's say you have a substance which is held together via lime, and if that lime was that was put into boiling water, it would crumble. That cannot be kashered. Let's go into our second concept, and that is libun, dry heat. So surfaces which are exposed to chametz via dry heat need a process called libun, burning out, in order to be kashered properly. What are examples of this? We're talking about things like the grates of the stove, the grates in the oven itself, grills, tongs, baking sheets. These are types of things where we're not talking about liquid heat, we're talking about very high dry heat. These require libun. What is the temperature for libun? For libun gomur, for to be a full burnout of anything in the material, it needs to be brought. The substance needs to be brought to a temperature where the utensil is red hot, or sparks are being emitted from it as well. So how can that be achieved today? So if we talk about a self-cleaning oven, then we are all right. That brings up the oven to around 850 to 900 degrees. If we're dealing with a blowtorch or putting coals, burning hot coals directly on the item, that would achieve a libun gomur in such a case. What if we don't have such an oven, or it's been broken by doing self-clean beforehand? We're just too scared to use a blowtorch. Are there alternatives? The answer is what's called a libun kal, which is a lower level of burning out. And this is achieved by bringing something to the highest temperature it can, which is, you know, for a regular oven, it's 450, 500 degrees. If you bring it to the highest temperature or to broil. And the only difference between a libun kal and libun gomur is that a libun gomur, if you're using the highest temperature, it doesn't need to be so clean, because it doesn't have to be like crazily clean, because the libun gomur will burn everything out of it and on it. But when it's a libun kal, that's not the case. And therefore, it needs to be cleaned very carefully with cleaning agents, left for 24 hours, and then the libun kal is done. So if one wants to use a self-clean oven, one can do it right away without a wait. If one wants to not use the self-clean function, one would need to clean it, wait 24 hours, and then put it on its highest for at least an hour. Can a baker's wooden shovel be kashered? So the Kitzer points out that is not possible, because in the end of the day, that to bring it up to such a temperature, it would need to be destroyed, and therefore that would not be possible. Now, moving to concept three, Hagala, which is the main part of where kashering happens. Hagala is where I'm talking about something, an item which was used when cooking in liquid. So it's liquid heat that it's been exposed to. What kind of things can I do Hagala for? So we're talking about pots, ladles, spoons, forks, these types of utensils. They usually come into contact with through liquid heat. How is it done? So it needs to be cleaned well, left for 24 hours, and then dipped into water on the boil, completely submerged. What if there are stains in the metal that I've cleaned it, but they just don't come up? So if it's just a stain, it's an internal stain, and I've cleaned it well, that can still be kashered. What if the utensil has a hole in it? So like, let's say, complex metal utensils. In that case, the hole needs to be thoroughly cleaned. And if that's not possible to thoroughly clean it, then it needs libun in that hole, which means that you would need to put coals on that hole, blowtorch out that area. What about a two-part utensil? So let's say I have a complex utensil. It's complicated, because if any substances could get caught in that crack, then the hagala itself may not be sufficient. One may need to do a libun in that crack, and if that's not possible, then one may not be able to kash that for Pesach. So we're talking about things like knives, as an example, which are two-part knives, as an example, where there's different parts to the side. Well, let's say when you talk about a kiddush cup which has got a stem, and sometimes the stem connects and there's a crack there. Not so simple with doing hagala for that. We talk about a becher where it's just one unit, that's fine. If you have a lip which wraps around, and the lip wraps onto itself, and there's a crack under that lip of a pot or a kiddush cup as well, that's also more complicated. That's the type of complexity. What about if a utensil has a patch on it? So it depends. If the patch was put on before it was ever used with chametz, then it can be kashered, because no chametz got under it. If it did, it'll come out the same way it went in. If the patch was put on after it was used with chametz, it's problematic, because maybe there is chametz under the patch, which was from before, which can't be really extracted in the same way now. So it would have to have a libun on that patch. So you have to really bring a coal or a blowtorch on that particular area in order to remove it. And if it was smelted on, so if you used a soldering iron to put it on, that might be sufficient. Even if it had been used for hot chametz beforehand, that'd be sufficient now. What about barrels which are used to contain whiskey? Whiskey's chametz. So that is complicated. Regular cleaning is not enough, because they have a very deep taste. So the first thing that needs to be done is they need to be cleaned with boiling water and a cleaning agent mixed into that water. That's the first thing. Then they need to be left for 24 hours. Then the stones need to be heated up to very high temperatures, placed inside, and boiling water needs to be placed in the barrel. The barrel needs to be closed and rolled so that the boiling stones are bringing the water to a constant boil. along all the edges of the side of it. Basically, it's not worth it. Don't do this. It's not worth it. Trying to kasher such barrels. This is a lot of work. Can I pour boiling water on them, on anything that needs to this? So can I just pour boiling water on my fork instead of dropping it into the pot? No. That's what's called iru roisim, which is one step lower than pouring boiling water, and is not sufficient for something which was involved in direct liquid contact with chametz. What kind of utensils cannot be kashered via agalas? So anything which cannot be cleaned properly, and that includes sieves, baskets, graters, narrow mouthed utensils, those types of things cannot be kashered at all. What about the handles of utensils? So it depends. If the handle never really came in direct contact with a hot food, then it's sufficient to pour boiling water over the handle. But if it did come in contact with the hot substances, then it does need to actually have hagala itself. But unlike tfilas kelim, the hagala does not need to be in one shot. So if I have a very long, let's say, ladle, I can put the one end in and then put the other end in, and that's sufficient for hagala. It does not need to be in one shot as well. Let's go into our concept four. This is iru roisim, pouring boiling water. This is usually by counters, sinks, and tables. So what about substances which are not cooked on, but hot items are placed on them? So it depends on the usage. This is very important. If you always used a trivet, if one always uses a trivet and one never places hot pots, pans, sheets onto the actual item, the counter or the tabletop itself, the only concern is for splashes, right? So soup splashes, those kind of things. Then in that case, one can achieve cleaning this by 24 hours, and then iru roisim, which is boiling directly hot water from a pot and going over the table. And it's not enough that the water spreads. It has to be where the radius of the falling liquid is, which is 2-3 inches, and needs to go back and forward all the way along this as well. However, if one used that counter or that tabletop, and one used to place hot things directly on it, so one places sheets of cookies directly on out of trivet and so on, that's not sufficient just to boil hot water. One will need to also heat up a stone to a very high temperature, place the stone on the counter, and then pour the liquid on it so that the stone is bringing the water to an even higher temperature, to boiling point, even when it's arriving on it as well. So it really depends on this as well. You'll see that many other kashrus agencies say that counters need an even milubenes, which means a hot stone as well. Notice this still requires a cleaning, a 24-hour wait, and then a kashering. And note as well that the water needs to come from a clear rishon. It can't be that you're pouring the kettle water into a jug and then you're pouring it onto the counter. It has to be directly from the kettle or the boiling pot. Our last concept today is the process of hagala, which is how this is done itself. What substances can hagala be done with? Only boiling water. Can it have soap in it? No, it's only boiling water. What happens if the water becomes cloudy? So in that case, the water needs to be poured out and new water needs to be boiled. Can I use tongs to lower my fork, my spoon, into my ladle, into the boiling water? The answer is yes, but one has to be careful that one shifts the tongs so that the area that's holding it, that is touching the utensil, is not going to be shielded from the water touching this. So one shifts it ever so slightly, obviously very carefully, in order to do this. Isn't it simpler just to put them into a net? So the answer is yes. Let's say you take a bunch of spoons, you put them into a net, lower it into the boiling water and shake it around. That's fine. But if there's too many, then it's not going to be possible. If I'm putting 20 spoons in there, they're not going to all be exposed to the hot water, because even if I shake it. So it has to be done in small groups. What else needs to be done for hagala? So it has to be that the item is not a ben yom. It hasn't been used in the last 24 hours for hot and then after being cleaned. And one needs to make sure that it is lowered in while the water is still boiling. If I put a number of things into boiling water, the water loses the boil. So you have to make sure that the water comes back to its rolling boil in order for that hagala to happen. How can one catch a big pot? So you can't find a bigger pot to put that into. So in that case, you fill it to its brim, you bring it to a rolling boil, and then you heat up a stone to a high temperature, lower the stone in, which brings the water to even faster boil and overflows its sides, and that is sufficient. And the question is, what any other requirements? The answer is yes. If one has finished the hagala, one puts one's knife, one's fork into the boiling water, one needs to take it out and immediately wash it in cold water. Most people are not aware of this. If this was forgotten, it doesn't make a difference. The answer is, if there was more than 60 in the water ratio to the volume of the spoon or the knife, then if this is forgotten, it is still all right. If not, it is a problem even b'di'eved as well. Last question, can I kasher on Pesach itself? The answer is, if it's Hagala, no. It can only be done up till Erev Pesach or at Chatzos. But if it's Libun Gomor, let's say a self-clean, that burning out is so severe that it can even be done on Pesach. Most people are not aware of this difference. It's very important. And as can be seen, this is exceptionally complicated. This is just a very brief summary of what could take years to learn about, these summaries. And so therefore, this needs to be done in the presence of somebody who can direct one to do this correctly, because there are a lot of questions. And the general recommendation today is that those who are living in a society where it is possible to buy a second set of dishes, a second set of flatware, do so. It's much simpler than doing Haggadah, and we live in such a blessed society where money is a lot more present, and it's much better just to have that second set, put it aside for storage the rest of the year, and bring it out on Pesach. It makes it much simpler, but it's important to know these halachas as well in the case where it becomes needed. Have a wonderful and